Hi there, listener. It's Matthew. You've come looking for an episode of the Children's Book Podcast, and you've found it. Hooray! But you're probably wondering why the name of the podcast has changed. After 8 years of doing the Children's Book Podcast, I began a new career as head of podcasts at A Kids Company About, where I now oversee a podcast network dedicated to producing original content that talks up to kids, centers the things going on in their world, and engages and challenges how they see the world and themselves. All of the episodes of the Children's Book Podcast are still here, but now, if you're subscribed, you'll get new episodes of Worth Noting, a kids podcast about current events, hosted by me. Something for you and the young people in your life to enjoy together. Enjoy this episode, and I hope you'll check out Worth Noting and other podcasts from A Kids Company About. Welcome to Let's Get Busy. I'm Matthew Winner. This is episode number 233, and today joining me is Julie Falatko and Tim Miller. They're celebrating their debut picture book. Julie as the author and Tim as the illustrator of a picture book called Snapsy the Alligator Did Not Ask to Be in This Book. I want to tell you a little bit more about it, but first I wanted to bring up Julie and All the Wonders. You probably know that All the Wonders is the host of the Let's Get Busy podcast. It's the website where you can find all of the episodes of Let's Get Busy. It's also a website that I helped to co-found and I contribute to, and a good number of people have been contributing really amazing things there. I'm really proud of how the site is advocating for readers and for books and becoming a resource for parents to be excited about literature for their children, for their readers. But I wanted to actually bring up Julie because Julie has contributed to All the Wonders already in the way that she's helped develop these amazing book list posts. In particular, she and Carter Higgins and I created some best of the year for 2015 picture book lists and middle grade chapter book lists. And I'm inviting you to do the same. If you are interested in sharing your voice at All the Wonders, whether you animate and want to share, or you illustrate, or you want to write directly to the parent community about the importance of reading or great strategies that have worked with your kids, or maybe you want to help out behind the scenes, helping us manage social media, or helping us to organize content, there is a place for you. And I want to personally extend the invitation. If you're interested, drop me an email at the following address: here@allthewonders.com. That's here, H-E-R-E, at allthewonders.com. And just let me and Blake know that you're interested. Blake's the co-founder. He's an awesome guy, and we can't wait to figure out who will be the next person on our team, but also what they will bring to the table and how it will influence All the Wonders and what we're doing for the better and make it an even more impactful site. Okay. Got to get back to the book. Snapsy the Alligator Did Not Ask to Be in This Book is amazing. Do you know those meta books that break the fourth wall? Actually, that's rhetorical. I know you know those books because so many of you already know Don't Let the Pigeon Drive the Bus by Mo Willems, in which a pigeon talks directly out to the reader and says, hey, let me drive the bus. Let me try to convince you. I'll give you $5. I'll let you have a spin too. it's fun and funny to have that character sort of recognize that we're reading their story, right? And we've seen it played with through a lot of different characters. I love in a great book called Chester by Melanie Watt, there's a cat character who's interacting with Melanie as she's trying to tell the story. I love this wonderful book called Press Here by Irv Soleil, in which we, the reader, are invited to touch the page and press colors on the page, and it gives the feeling that we are actually affecting the outcome of the page turn. Well, in this book, something completely different, something I haven't seen before, and that's why I'm so excited about it. Snapsy, as the title implies, Snapsy the Alligator does not want to be in this book, and yet we pick up a story where a narrator is telling a story about him, and he realizes that he's in a story being talked to, and he does not want to be in this story. And we, the reader, are able to witness this contentiously building relationship between a narrator and the main character, and it's really funny the way that that relationship plays out. I talked to Julie and Tim a whole lot about it, and I think you'll really love what we discover through the chat too about each other's role in this, and the way that the manuscript was treated by Tim as the illustrator, in how that we could visually represent this story, but also how the story was treated by Julie to make these words work and read well on the page, to have two characters that are not the reader interacting while the reader is sort of breathing life into the characters with their words. It's really cool. Actually, it reminds me a lot of this wonderful movie. If you haven't seen this movie, it has Will Ferrell in it. It's called Stranger Than Fiction. And it's about a man named Harold who suddenly realizes that he is in a novel. And he can hear the novel being read in his head. And it makes him paranoid for what he's about to do next. I think you're going to love this picture book. Not just to read it with your kids, but really to love it as an adult. So let me let you get right to it. This is episode number 233 of the podcast with Julie Falatko and Tim Miller. Let's get busy. Welcome to the Let's Get Busy podcast. Julie, Tim, I'm excited to have you here and talk about Snapsy.
Matthew, thank you so much for having us both.
Yeah, thank you very much. I'm excited.
Hey, it's been like super fun to be seeing this build up for the book too. The book we're talking about here is Snapsy the Alligator, which happens to be both of your debuts into children's literature.
Yes, I know. Aren't we lucky?
I would say there's lots of luck going around. Luck to be together. Luck to have this book turn out the way it did. It's gorgeous. It's a wonderful book.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many places I want to go with this, because Julie, I don't usually have books this long. It was really nice to get an FNG probably on one of those first rounds that they send them out, which meant I really got a chance to live with it for a while. And so, Tim, I've been living with your art for a while too, which is another, again, a neat thing, because then I've picked up a lot of the nuance and I like a lot of the style that you're showing off, and I've had your stuff in front of children now a whole lot. They've seen pages fall everywhere because the folding gathered doesn't stay together. So it's been really special to have that together and to have that in front of my students. But before we even launch into all of that love fest, Julie, can I ask for you to share a book talk for Snapsy?
Sure, I would love to do that. Snapsy the Alligator did not ask to be in this book. It's a book about an alligator who is having a normal day until the narrator of his book starts making up lies and narrating his day wrong to try to make the book more interesting. It's weird to book talk your own book, because if it were somebody else's book, I would probably be like, it's hilarious. But then I feel like...
Were you editing?
I feel like a jerk saying that about my own self.
For all the podcasts you and I have done about talking about our favorite books of the quarter, you're right. I see you're holding back. But I'm happy to say, yeah. I think it's hilarious. I think it's ridiculous. To read aloud is bizarre and super fun, because it's not the character. Snapsy's not talking to me. There's another character that is narrating the story. It's crazy. It's quite mind-bendy and really, really wonderful. And I think one that once the readers find out who the character is, who the narrator is, it's really sort of fun to read it a second time and have that go of knowing, you know, knowing this is like the Wizard of Oz, knowing the person behind the curtain. That's fun.
So you know that Tim made up that narrator character. Like, there was a narrator in the book, but I never said who it was. So that's
how would I know that? I'm glad we made a podcast to find this stuff out. Tim,
Well, I did. I was just the narrator. There was this big moment when they sent me Tim's first sketches. And they said, this is the big reveal. It was this moment where I was on the phone with our editor, Joanna Cardenas, who was like, what do you think? You know, because I didn't know who the narrator was going to be.
And Julie's first response was like, are you kidding me?
Get me on the phone with Tim Miller.
Who said the narrator was supposed to be Tim Miller? I don't understand.
Wait,
this.
Oh my God. gosh, that would have been awesome.
Or if it was like one of those Hallmark books, only mass produced, so that whenever you get to that page, you press the button.
Oh my gosh.
Tim's and voice like reading. Right.
I think that would actually bring an uptick in sales.
No offense, Julie, but Tim, I can't imagine what it must have been like to receive this manuscript because of the, well, I guess because it must have left a lot of room for you to do cool things, but then to have it be, to be essentially illustrating a character that you don't ever see for the beginning, you're talking off camera, if you will, I feel like that presents certain challenges because of, I don't know.
Totally.
How was your experience, Tim?
that was honestly the biggest riddle of doing the book. I think, when I first got the manuscript, I instantly fell in love with it. I was just cracking up and I felt like, sorry, Julie, I felt like we were like the same person. I was like, she's my soulmate, you know, and sarcastic, cheesy humor. And I just immediately thought it would be so much fun to draw. And, as an aside, I just assumed the first time I ever had to do a book, you might like not necessarily do something that was completely simpatico with your soul. I imagined I'd be drawing soft, cute, cuddly, fuzzy, cute characters.
Cuddly, fuzzy, cute characters. Yeah, well, what are you talking about?
Yeah, but my favorite part is that, you know, I can draw a belligerent main character.
Who's going to eat the fuzzy characters.
Yeah. And so, I mean,
that's so amazing to hear, because that's exactly what I meant when I said, aren't we lucky? Like the fact that we get to go on this debut journey together, and exactly what you just said, like when they told me that Tim was going to illustrate it. And then I looked at his website, I could imagine the whole thing, and it just seemed perfect. And I couldn't believe sort of what Tim is saying. I was like, oh, there it is. There's the illustrator, of course. Yes.
I was totally, totally excited about all those things. But, and I think it was like a, you know, kind of a thought in the back of my head when I said yes. And of course it was, you know, it's the first book that I got presented with. So there was also that sort of euphoria. Yes, 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 I'll do it. And in the back of my head, you know, there was the question mark. Okay. How do you make the narrator suddenly visible and present them into the story like more than halfway through?
I mean, part of that is how well the manuscript is written, Julie, or how well the story is written. Just that you do offer that opportunity for, as it were, the narrator to sort of walk in through the front door. I don't want to give away the ending of this book because it's really cute, but there is that opportunity. You have written a walk-on part for the narrator.
Well, it seemed important.
Yeah.
For the narrator to actually show up at the end. It seemed like it would be a bit of a letdown if the narrator never showed up.
I would go even further. If the narrator never showed up, then it would make me, the reader, the narrator.
Yeah.
It would feel awful to have a character in the book sort of yelling at you and wanting to escape from you. Part of the humor is that it's not you. You know that there's someone else doing this, but so the reveal is important. Otherwise, it can really leave the reader, I think, confused.
Right. You don't want the parent with the kid in their lap to be the one who is being so mean to the main character of the book. That would be awful.
Snapsy the alligator does not like you. Yes, you. We're talking about you.
Your mom. Yeah, that would be weird.
Okay, so do you mind if I read the first page or two of the book?
I would
so the
love
audience
it.
Can have a sense of it. Too. Right, okay, here we go. So, and you're going to see me continue to struggle with voice in this because I keep inventing new ways to read this, which I think is wonderful, but love it. Here we go. Snapsy the alligator wasn't feeling like himself. His feet felt draggy. His skin felt baggy. His tail wouldn't swish this way and that. And worst of all, his big jaw wouldn't snap. This is terrible. I'm just hungry. Why is this rude narrator trying to make it seem like I need a nap? And I'm going to stop there because that is the entire back and forth of the story where from the moment we meet poor Snapsy. he's just criticized from that moment, or he's put into a story from page one that he doesn't want to be in. And I love that as the story is amped up further and further, then it becomes a story of a character not only doing something in opposition to what the narrator is saying, but then ultimately trying to hide from the narrator so that the narrator cannot say what not Snapsy should be doing. Good Lord, it's so hard to talk about this book without spoiling it. Oh my
word. And then ultimately, though, trying to please the narrator, right?
That's true.
I mean, he hides from him, and then he's like, fine, I'll do something more interesting.
Yeah. It's a really great, charming book, and one that I think, I assume you've had a chance to read this, Julie, to a couple kids. You were talking about Skyping with classes earlier and sharing earlier manuscripts, but to be in front of children as then you've had this experience too, and to see them like squirming every time there's this back and forth. This is really a great story for the way that it energizes the reader that way.
Yeah. It's hard to tell over Skype because I'm holding the book in front of the camera. So I can't really see the kids, but my local library does this New Year's Eve party every New Year's Eve where they count down to noon instead of to midnight. And I read Snapsy then to them. And so that was my first time reading it in front of a live audience. It was so much easier because I've been doing it. You're talking about struggling with getting the voice right. And you really have to do that when you're reading it over Skype because you can't gesture or anything like that. And so to be on a stage, being able to gesture, it was so much easier. So I don't know if they were quite squirming. I'm fairly loud and yelly, so they were probably just like, yeesh, this lady's yelling at us. But
I meant with excitement, with anticipation, but the yeesh this lady's yelling at us was worth it. Thank you. Okay.
Well,
so
I was getting into character.
There you go. There you go. Tim, when you got this manuscript, were there, how much? Okay. I know that Julie, you're saying that there was so much that you left open, right? To be interpreted, to be discovered, right?
Yeah.
So how then do you wrestle this, Tim? Was this one, so you read it, you said you read it and you liked it and you wanted to take it on. Did your approach to it go through several different like versions to figure out how to attack it the right way?
It's a good question. You know, first, I should preface that I was like totally terrified to do it because it was, you know, my first opportunity. So, you know, I'm totally like scared I'm going to mess it up. And
right. And then you'll be kicked out of the Children's Literature Kingdom. That's right. Yeah.
but so what I did is when I got the manuscript, I tried to like sneak up on it without thinking about it too much. And, you know, I definitely had visuals pop into my head as I read the manuscript. And so what I did is I just tried to jot those visuals down really loosely directly on the manuscript next to, like, you know, all the different phrasing and stuff. And then I tried to kind of pair sections into like what made sense as different sequences. And basically, for the most part, everything stayed true to that first initial sort of roughen things out. And I will say, like, along the lines of, you know, being nervous about, like, you know, doing a decent job, I totally expected the first time I went in to meet with Denise and Joanna about it that they would just, like, tear everything up like an art school, like, no, like, you know, this is okay, but, yeah, you know, we need a little more of this and a little more of that. And I was, you know, I came in and they're like, they were just laughing. They're like, okay, great. And I'm like, that's it? Like, are you serious? Like, you're okay with everything? So I think that there were little parts here and there that we all like tweaked in terms of like the sequential narrative. And I think like the biggest riddle again was the actual entrance of the narrator into the party. But for the most part, it stayed true to pretty much the first draft.
Well, I like the I like your character design a whole lot.
And thank you.
I come back to this. I think that you're welcome. I think that I tend to feel a strong affinity toward illustrators who are able to design so well that it also invites children to try to recreate the characters, especially at this age level that this book is, I feel like the sweet spot when I was reading it to the kids was so well settled into kindergarten and first and second grade and that age where they want to draw what they see. Mm. And the design is just lots of like thick curving lines, simple shapes that they can put together that I really appreciated that. And I think the colors too, are just so, it just feels like such a, for all that the narrator is trying to say what the narrator is trying to say, everything in this book works against that narrator. And I think that in that design that you had, that helps amp up the tension even more, that it's all like these wonderful pastels with all these rounded shapes. There's nothing threatening at all about this world that Snapsy inhabits, but the narrator will not see it that way.
The color palette in this book is amazing. I mean, it's, you know, you look, get your book and then you look at it, and I swear every time I look at this book, there's more stuff that I didn't notice before. But I love the colors in this book so much. And I mean, Tim, I would love to hear you talk about how you got around to them, but there's like, it's a pastel, but it's not the like, it's not this sort of basic storybook, happy little sweet story pastel. It's all got like a dusty layer over it almost, so that it's like there's something amiss in happy storybook land. That's how I see it, at least. But...
yeah. I think it looks like it looks like a Sesame Street cartoon to me, and that's why I like it. It looks like those colors to me. It must be...
Oh, yeah, there's a retro feel.
Something in there, sure. Yeah.
It's got a little bit of Grover. I didn't even think of that. Or not Grover, Oscar the Grouch. Little.
Yeah.
You know, I want... You're talking about the colors, and you're talking about the art, and it makes me think of one thing that I wanted to step back to. And you know, one thing that I think made it really fun and successful is that there was so much freedom in interpretation that Joanna and Denise gave me. So like the whole time I was expecting them to kind of pull back and make, you know, and kind of guide me in a certain direction. They just let me go off. And so I think that I had a lot of fun in that extent, like just doing a lot of like the little details, like hidden in the edges and stuff, and stuff like putting the fez on Snapsy. Like they were all things like I expected them to be like, nope, sorry. So I think all that just sort of, it enabled me or allowed me to kind of like just have more fun with it. And as far as the colors go, I think it took me a long time to figure out the colors. I had a lot of heart attacks trying to figure them out. and the hardest, I think I got the colors pretty fast for the, you know, when Snapsy first enters, you know, when he's walking along, like I figured out the background and his color kind of, but it was once he came into his house that really killed me, because I was trying to make the background harmonize with his color. And it took me a long time to figure out to kind of get that sort of green, to play off of him. But yeah, it took me a long time. A lot of banging my head against the wall. But I'm happy how it came about.
Snapsy's house is one of my favorite parts of this book, because that was, besides the narrator, that was the other thing that I was not sure how Tim was going to be able to illustrate, because I'm very clear about that Snapsy's house looks awful, but I didn't want it to actually look awful. The narrator's saying that Snapsy's house is falling down, that there's splinters everywhere, because Snapsy built it himself. But if it really looked like a sad place, then that wouldn't work very well. And then Tim did this whole other thing, which I didn't even think about, but it worked so perfectly, where Snapsy's house is like Snoopy's doghouse, where the inside of it is 12 times bigger than the outside is. and I love that so much.
Any opportunity to subvert the text, you must take advantage of it.
Hey, you're not supposed to subvert my text.
Oh, wait, are we recording that?
But Tim, when you're talking about how you would go into Denise and Joanna and they would let you just run free. I mean, I think a huge part of that is that this book is so much our book. And a part of it is that Viking is awesome to work with. But I think a huge other part of it is that this is a book that I wrote very much for my own, for myself. It was a book that I thought would be funny. And then I did not.
I thought you wrote it for me.
It's the same thing though, right? Right? I wrote it for my own sense of humor and I wrote what I would want to read and I wasn't sure if anybody else would think it was funny. And then I think that in some ways we're just making it for each other. I made it for you and then you drew the pictures for me. And the cool thing is other people like it too. And that's great. But I'm so happy that you like it, Tim. And I really like what you did with it. And we both had so much fun with it. Because we didn't have to compromise.
I'm happy you like what I did with it too. Thanks.
I do a lot.
I like just to call it out. I'm just gonna call it out because this is one of those things that could have been intentional or might not have been. But as the reader, as the other person that you may or may not have been making this for.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
come on.
What now?
When I was reading this, so I had a week where I was just reading. I think it was right before winter break. I just brought in a lot of my FNGs and was reading to the kids so that they could see what they look like. And you read on your own and let me also read to you and see some new stuff that isn't out yet but is coming. And when I was reading that, and that's when I was talking about the pages falling all apart, I laid all these different books out and over they kept, every class was picking Snapsy, which is wonderful. But when I read it to my fifth grade class in particular, I have a boy named Declan that gets along. He and I are connected on a different level and I'll share more about that in a second. But what he saw, let's give him credit, when Snapsy was going into the house and when Snapsy then put on a fez and when the house was bigger on the inside was that he saw the TARDIS. He saw that this is a Doctor Who thing. And that's something I need to say, Tim, intentional or not, it's great that there's that connection there, right? Intentional or not. But for him, Declan comes and sees me every single day because he and I like Doctor Who, and I must be playing some role in his life because he comes to see me every single morning in that library, and it's very, very special. And so when I read this book, and this was like a month ago when I read this book, and then he had that connection, it again felt like it was there just for us. So it's sweet that you both are saying about how you, Julie, you make this book so that some other person that gets it can illustrate it, and likewise to be working with that manuscript, and it's also cool to see that books then can play that role in other people's lives, that not just we all have been enjoying this story, but that this was like another artifact in my relationship with this kid that we're getting along and seeing the same things. It was a cool thing for me. So I had to just give that to you. Have you be aware of that?
That's really wonderful and really special. And I think that, you know, not to get too sentimental, but I think that that's like at the heart of what makes a great work of art, when the creative person or persons behind it are putting things into it that are so personal to themselves, and then it goes out into the world and other people can receive it and interpret it, but make their own personal connections and relationship to that. I think that that's like the most we could hope for. I think that's really special.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, I feel like now it's your book, Matthew. You know, exactly. We made it and it's ours, but now it's yours and it's Declan's. So take it and do good things with it.
Well, that's the sort of the greatest thing, isn't it, too, to see you both have listened to this podcast before. I talk about this endlessly, but I'm endlessly fascinated by the fact that you both have spent years on this book, but come the release date, and this will post on release date, come the release date, it's sort of not yours anymore. It becomes all of ours. And the way that we librarians and we teachers read it aloud gives a different voice to the characters. And the way that the kids see it and understand it the way that they do gives a different meaning to it too. And then when you both go out into schools and they get to meet you personally, all these different layers that just breathe different stories, different lives into this one book, I think is a really amazing thing.
That's sort of what it's all about, this thing that do, because we all have, it's this big interconnected web of ideas that get made into real objects that then we can pass around.
Yeah. I like it. I think it's special.
I like it too.
I like it. I need to move on, but I do want to just ask you, Jolie, just really quick, how much was in your manuscript before you sent it to Tim? How much was it, just like quote from Snapsy, line from the narrator, bing bang bing, or did you have, was there some stuff that you had vision in the illustrations? Were there some notes that you were like, no, to make this trick work, it has to have an illustration that includes something like this?
No, there were no art notes. There was one art note about when Snapsy is getting ready for the party and he gets really mad at the narrator and sort of kicks the narrator out. There was an art note that said he's still getting ready for the party. That was the only art note. Because I honestly, I'm not somebody who thinks in terms of the illustrations at all. So I had no idea. I just wasn't picturing it at what it would be. I mean, I certainly didn't have any notes about like what anything should look like, because that's not my job. You know, that's completely Tim's job. But I didn't, you know, there was a moment before Tim signed on where I was really nervous that this was not an illustratable manuscript.
Okay.
Because yes, it seemed to be taking a really long time for them to find an illustrator. And I was not part of that process at all. So it maybe didn't actually take that long. It just seemed like a long time for me because I had finished the text and then I was just sitting there. And so I was very nervous that it was not that I had just written these words and I didn't really know how it would be illustrated. And so then I started to get nervous that nobody could figure it out.
Like it exists in your words and your critique group gives thumbs up to it, but then it's sort of this Rubik's cube of how can anyone else figure it out? Well, that's amazing to hear that you thought about the story just in terms of the story and words, and that allows so much room for the illustrator, or maybe even when you first got it back with Tim's original sketches, to see like, oh, this is what my story looks like.
That's 100% what it was. You know, I really had no idea. And then seeing Tim's drawings, it was like, oh, yeah, right. Yeah, no, that's right. That's what I was picturing, even though I wasn't actually picturing anything.
Awesome.
It all made total sense to me.
Tim, I was just going to say, in all of that way that you then absorbed this character and created this story in this world, I love that you've continued the story from the cover, inside the jacket, onto the actual book cover and through the end pages. You've really taken care of this character and building that world, from every single square inch of this book that we can look at. I think it's really well done in helping to reiterate who Snapsy is beyond what the narrator says.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I think, I feel, it all sounds cheesy, but I totally feel like, you know, Snapsy is my character too, you know? So I feel totally at home with Snapsy in the world. And, you know, I love that Julie's created a character that belongs to all of us.
Well, I love that you both have been sharing through social media and even you specifically, Tim, have been sharing some like postcard style images of Snapsy's travels and things like that. I think all of that sort of grassroots marketing that you do through social media just helps build that world for your future readers and helps build that anticipation for all of us.
I think what gets me, and it's the same thing that got me at the beginning when I opened the manuscript, was just that I'm just slapping my knees from the get-go at the character. So any situation that I can imagine the character in for some off the wall reason, like I just, it's fun to draw, you know? So it comes out that way. So I love it. So I'm glad you enjoy it.
Well, that's good stuff. And I, you know, look forward to that sequel of Snapsy. That is, what did we say it was? Snapsy the Alligator, doesn't like you. Yes, you, we're talking about you.
Oh.
No. Please don't really do that.
No, I'm not going to do that.
But I do know, I do actually bring that up because I know that you both have plenty of stuff coming out. You've got books sold. You've got work in the process. You're already working on the next and the next and the next thing, which is so exciting to see that you're at that part in your career where you had a manuscript and now you've got like all these stages going on of like editing this one and this one's going to whatever purchasing and this one's being published. And oh my goodness, you've got that exciting whirlwind is like just about to take off. Julie, what's going on with you? You've got a bunch of books sold, right?
I have. So there'll be two more books with Viking children's books after Snapsy. The first one is called The Society for Underrepresented Animals. And that is Charles Santoso is going to be illustrating that.
No
one.
Way. He's yeah. doing it? I love yeah. peanut butter and brains.
Yeah. And I don't like koala. He's an amazing like guy. Yeah, yeah. So he's going to be illustrating that one. That.
That's fun.
That is about a bunch of animals that are not in any of the picture books, and they're kind of mad about it. So they have like a support group where they meet and talk about it and try to come up with their with their own picture book. And then a bunny shows up and they're really mad because the bunny's in all the books. So that's what that one is. And then the third one is called Help Wanted One Rooster. And that does not have an illustrator yet. And that is about a cow who is a cow who's interviewing roosters for the farm because the rooster left.
That's what I did my childhood growing up.
You interviewed roosters?
Yeah, I lived on a farm. Julie, I need to see that manuscript.
All right, let's do it.
So I'm glad that Viking loves you so much. That's
Wait,
awesome.
I'm glad that Tim interviewed roosters as a childhood hobby.
Didn't everyone?
No, I grew up in New Jersey. We had no roosters. We had no cows. We had pigeons.
You poor soul.
How do you know what these things are? No wonder you write these picture books for the research of it. What is this cow?
They're all talking animals. Yeah.
Well, that's fun, though. It's great that you've got a bunch of stuff with Viking and Viking all with the same publisher, too. I feel like I see that a lot in
same publisher and illustrators with the same editor, Joanna Cardenas, who is amazing. I couldn't be happier to be working with her. She's so great.
That's excellent. Congratulations. Tim, what's going on with you? I saw that on your site, I saw that you're illustrating some middle grade too, as well as some other stuff, right?
Yeah, I just I finished work not too long ago for a middle grade series called Hamstersaurus Rex. And I think that comes out in the fall. And it's really, 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 really funny. And Tom O'Donnell is the writer. And so that's coming out. And I'm currently doing finishes on a book with Enchanted Lion written by Mark Riddle called Margarash. And all I can say is it's one of the most beautiful things I've ever read. And it's not necessarily like, goofball drawing. It's something a little more visceral from the soul, but I'm really having a wonderful time. And then my own book, Moo Moo in a Tutu, comes out winter, what is it? What year are we in? 2016? So 2017.
All right. Moving along.
That's a book about a very adventurous cow and her loyal sidekick, a very loyal duck friend of hers.
Wonderful. Tim, you mentioned about art college. Where did you go to school?
I went to the School of Visual Arts a long time ago.
Right on. And you, how did you, what was your method with Snapsy? Do you do more traditional or is it digital?
I do both. But I totally lean on the computer to like hide my sins. And so.
Me too.
It's actually very helpful in that way. So basically I do most of the drawings by hand.
And then scan them in.
And what I really do is I piece them together because I'm a master of making mistakes. So to make one composition, I'll do like maybe, 20, 30 little different drawings and then piece it together.
I see. I've heard other people talking about this, which is why I wanted to ask that sort of like you're collaging your own work.
Totally.
Which is totally. That is fascinating to me. When you go into schools, please talk to children about that.
I
feel like that's, I doubt that there are many art teachers out there talking about the art of the picture book and how art in picture books is created, which sometimes is different from the stuff that they look at or the stuff that they study. Or maybe it's always different because they're mostly studying classics or you know, the great art masters. But I think that it's really cool to have students get a chance to hear from illustrators how they create their art, especially when it's doing things like sketching some pieces and doing some layering digitally and learning about Wacom tablets and things like that. I think it's really, that's something that's really important for children to get to hear.
Agree. I totally agree with you.
Showing them that different power of the screen. Of course, that works.
I think it's the same thing for writing, though. I mean, that's essentially how I write, too, is I write a whole bunch of different things, and then I might think, oh, this isn't working, so I start again with something new, and then I think, oh, well, that paragraph works, so then I digitally cut and paste it and
put
it all together in the same way.
I mean, because I was going to lean on that too, Julie, that if you, I don't know how where and how you write, if you're a person, are you a person that is in like Microsoft Word, or are you writing, typing it out in printing and then doing a brand new document for every new draft? Because we also live in this age where
I do a new version, but I don't start, I don't like retype them in. I do write a lot with pencils and notebooks though.
So, because we're almost at this place too, where they could have an author in front of them that's just showing like, here's my revision history on this Google Doc.
That's what I do when I Skype with kids is I hold up the version one of Snapsy, and then I hold up the final version, which was version 18. And then I show them the F and G, and I say words changed. So that, then I hold up Tim's first sketches, and I say words changed after this point. Like the text was technically final, but words changed after the first sketches. And then Tim's color sketches, and words changed after that point too. And then the F and G's, and words changed from the F and G's to the final. And then the final, yes. That'll be a little puzzle for you to figure out. There are
things can still happen that far. Okay.
Yeah, I was glad because I noticed a couple things that I was like, I really want to change this. So we did.
Well, so there you go. Then again, leaning on not just the author's craft, but also the what revisions look like. I just think that's an important thing. We have authors come through our school pretty regularly, which is awesome. But I always feel like that's, as much as the kids love to hear you read aloud, it's also really, really cool. Something that's really easy to grasp, to see these multiple revisions or these. Yeah.
Well, you know, before doing this work, I was also a teacher and an art teacher at a museum. And one of the things I love to do with students was, you know, you can do projects that they can realize in one sitting, but I love to do projects with them that they would like discover through multiple sittings. And so it's really like a buildup and accumulation of layers. And so I think that's not necessarily an experience that they have the opportunity to consider that much, because it's natural for us to want answers immediately. And that can be really frustrating creatively when they don't come immediately. And usually the answers arrive through countless mistakes. And that's, I think, a really valuable thing to explore with kids. No.
I think so, too. I'm really thankful to have you both here talking about these multiple revisions and talking about how sometimes it just works out that two people are brought together through all that wisdom of the publisher and however that magic works to create something this, you know, this strong that neither one could have conceived, you know, could have imagined by themselves. I really think that Snapsy was just the right thing to come out of both of you. I'm thankful that I've gotten a chance to read it, and I'm even more thankful that kids will get to read it too.
Thank you so much. I really do look at it as our book now. It wouldn't work without one of us, without both of us working on it. So I'm so happy and so ready for it to be out.
Thank you, Matthew. I really appreciate it.
Of course, of course. Before you go, let's jump in. I'm assembling an all-star Kidlit Dream Team kickball tournament. I would love to know what one person, alive or past, you would want on your team and why. And Julie, I'm going to start with you because I think you've had this before. Am I right? Have I asked you?
No, you've never asked me this
question before. Oh, we've saved it. Oh, I love that we've saved it then.
Yeah, So,
you're up,
you know? Okay. I'm going to pick Tim Miller. Because...
Yes! Shut
hey, up. Hey, well done.
You're putting me on the spot. Now I gotta say you.
No, all right. Okay, so here's this. I was gonna say Russell Hoban because you know that he would just like bring the best picnic sandwiches and like a big basket of food. But let's have Russell Hoban be like our concession stand. I'm picking Tim because, oh my gosh, you know that I could be like sending him mind waves where I could be like, Tim, I'm gonna kick it to the left, and then he'd be like, I'm gonna go over there, and he would just get it. I am maybe revealing the fact that I don't quite remember how kickball works because it's been a long time. But I think that I could send Tim direction on the astral plane and he would understand what I was trying to say. And Russell Hoban would just give us our egg sandwiches.
I think you haven't even seen me run yet.
Oh my gosh, have you seen me run? No, we're just going to be on the side eating sandwiches and then getting up when everybody else is gone.
Mind waves and sandwiches. This is perfect. Tim, who's your pick?
Oh dear. Well, it's not Julie Filatko. Let me tell you that. Sorry, Julie. I'm going to have to pass this time. And I'm going with James Marshall because...
Oh, that's a nice one.
Come on, he's like,
he's
just going to make everyone happy and laugh constantly. I don't know, and just be pure happiness. I don't have a better answer than that. You know what? I'd only want him on the team so I could just like be like, are you really James Marshall? Like, oh my God. Oh my God.
Yeah, that would kind of be how I'd be about Russell Hoban too. So yeah. James Marshall's a really good choice.
Well, I'm thankful that you both are bringing such pure happiness to readers and that this book, Snapsy, is just going to be hilarious to be in front of children and connect with them and to have this be part of their lives as well. So thank you, Tim. Thank you, Julie, for coming on.
Thank you so much, Matthew.
Thank you. Thank you.
And thanks for drawing my book, Tim.
Yeah, you know, don't mention it.
Yeah,
don't
no biggie.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah.
It's cool.
It's good. Thanks.
Yeah. It was pretty funny.
Let's Get Busy is recorded and produced by me, Matthew Winner, in my library studio in Ellicott City, Maryland, and by All the Wonders, a home for readers to discover new books and to experience the stories they love in wondrous ways. Go beyond the book at allthewonders.com. And check out other podcasts from All the Wonders, including the Picture Booking Podcast with Nick Patton and The Best Book Ever This Week. Our theme music is by Blue Ducks. All views and opinions expressed on the show are those of the individuals, myself included, and do not reflect ideas or viewpoints of the publishers of the books referenced. Listeners, if this episode connected with you, I'd love to hear it. Leave a comment on allthewonders.com or rate Let's Get Busy on iTunes or Stitcher. Through stars or reviews. Sharing the podcast with friends through Facebook, Twitter, word of mouth, or any other means helps reach more listeners, which leads to more content and more amazing guests. And that is a very good thing indeed. Next up on Let's Get Busy. James Kennedy talks about the 92nd Newbery Film Festival. And later in the week, Charisse Harper and Anna Raff share the story behind a big surprise for Little Card. See you then, and thanks for listening. We know you value what you put in front of your kids, especially when it comes to screens and podcasts. That's why we're excited to share a new podcast from our friends at Sleepiest, creating bedtime stories to help your kids fall asleep fast.
Hello, Abby here. If you've got children and find bedtime's a struggle, I'd like to tell you about Coco Sleep, a children's story podcast designed to make bedtime a dream. Coco Sleep turns a chaotic bedtime into cozy bonding time. The stories are delivered in a pace that gently slows. Rumour has it that no one's ever heard an ending. So search Coco Sleep on your favourite podcast app and let's make bedtime a dream. That's K-O-K-O Sleep and I'll see you there.